having clearly stated that, let me add an however to the point. God doesn't move in a vacuum. He uses people, He uses circumstances, and He uses things in our life to move us from where we are to where He wants us to be. So if someone in an organization recognizes the potential within you, trains you, and brings you to a place of leadership and influence, it is proper to recognize that it all came from the hand of God. After all, He was the one who gave you the potential which the mentor saw. He was the one who moved to allow the mentor to see the potential within you. He's the one who placed you within the right organization at the right time. He's the one who moved you to a position of influence and leadership. The mentor was an instrument of His will. You see, God was in charge of the entire process. So establishing sponsoring relationships need not be an effort in the flesh, but could very well be the will of the Lord. My entrance into higher education came about in this manner. I had sensed the Lord leading me this way for several years, but no openings came. Finally, an academic dean noticed the potential within me and the benefit I could bring to his organization. He opened a career move for me for which I am extremely grateful and extremely thankful for. And although God used this person to open the door, I certainly recognize without a doubt that it was God who oversaw the whole process, and I readily give glory to Him. Churches, or any other organization for that matter, that neglect to sponsor exceptional leaders with loads of potential and move them through the organization are in danger of losing them through the back door. Now, hear me on this and make no mistake about it. This could be very, very dangerous to organizations as they lose their best leaders to other ministries or other organizations that provide challenges and allow opportunities for using the gifts and abilities God has given them. Organizations must recognize this fact and identify and release strategic sponsors who can work with mentorees. In most churches, we are worried more about getting by and making sure the programs that we have already offered function at least halfway decent. But I believe that organizations, and especially the church, must take the time to do some long-range planning and goal setting. And one of the best ways to prepare for the future is to identify and train leaders with potential to influence the organization. You see, this benefits both the organization and the individual. The organization gets someone who is gifted, who is talented, who can lead, who can influence. And the individual gets challenging situations. He gets to be involved in an organization where he can or she can use the potential within them. So in summarizing, the occasional level of mentoring, we find that counselors are extremely valuable. All of us, at one time or another, could use the timely advice of a trusted third party who acts as an impartial counselor. It's good to check out our thoughts and our perspectives and our attitudes, and it's good to seek out counselors whenever you need them. And oftentimes when we think of seeking a counselor, we think of ourselves as being weak, someone who can't do it on their own, someone who has failed in trusting God. And those are all distortions of the truth and misconceptions. God wants to work in your life, and He can lead you to counselors who can give you great advice. God has gifted them. And so don't feel bad when you go to someone and ask for advice. That is one of the most beneficial and one of the most healthy things that you could do. And I think that over a lifetime, individuals, myself included, will seek the advice of many counselors. The teacher mentor imparts knowledge and understanding with inspiration and with excitement and with relevance. And the key here is to remember that the more clearly you can discern what it is you need to learn, the easier it will be to find someone to teach it to you. Without a sponsor, many potential leaders fall between the cracks. Sponsors must exhibit humility as they seek to develop others, because often the mentorees move beyond the level of influence and authority of the mentor. I think being a sponsor takes a very special kind of person who is not self-seeking and who delights to see others move above him, move beyond him, have greater impact. Well, that's the sponsor. Having examined the intensive and occasional levels of mentoring, we now move to the passive level, the least deliberate and the least intensive of the three. This level contains two types of mentoring, called the contemporary model and the historical model. And they are passive because there is no deliberate and no direct relationship between the two individuals involved. One simply learns by reading or by watching. And often the person they are watching doesn't even know that mentoring is going on. The contemporary model involves choosing someone in today's world to model what you need to learn. You watch a living person. The historical model, on the other hand, involves choosing someone who has died, but who mentors through biographies and autobiographies. It is historical because they are no longer living in the contemporary world. The passive level of mentoring provides a viable option for those who do not have access to mentors. Sometimes, because of one's location or situation, mentors are just not available. If you live in a geographically secluded place, that's a nice way of saying the sticks, then your chances of finding appropriate mentors diminishes. It is possible that there are just not enough competent mentors in your location. It could be that You have tried your hardest to find competent mentors. And you have found them. But for one reason or another, they just do not have the time or just don't want to take time for you. For whatever reason, if you have trouble finding mentors, then the passive level could be extremely beneficial for you. Since there is no deliberate, direct relationship between the mentor and mentoree, the mentoree has to supply the dynamics needed for successful mentoring, even if it is only one-sided. The mentoree supplies the dynamic of attraction, because the mentor may not even know the situation. And in the historical model, the mentor is dead. For instance, if you chose a great religious leader as your mentor because you were attracted to that person's style of ministry, you were attracted to that person's values, and you were attracted to their written works, you could watch every move they make and read every article they write without that person ever knowing you exist. Mentorees not only supply the needed attraction, they also supply the needed responsiveness. The mentor isn't there to demand that you perform better. The mentor isn't there to take the time that is needed for you to grasp a concept. And the mentor is not there to ask that you respond with timely growth, because there's no deliberate or direct relationship. So that means the level of responsiveness is determined solely by the mentoree. Accountability is low because the mentor isn't personally available to demand it, or, as we've said earlier, inspect it. The contemporary and historical model of mentoring can be quite beneficial if the mentoree provides the needed dynamics for growth and development. In other words, even in the passive level, the end result of mentoring, that is, empowerment for personal growth and development, can be the same. Modeling is a biblical concept. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 3, Peter exhorts the elders in local congregations to be examples to the flock they oversee. Christ himself is said to be an example for us. Listen to the following verses. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. Because Paul modeled his life after Christ, he could confidently tell the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 17, I exhort you, therefore, be imitators of me. For this reason I have sent to you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord. And he will remind you of my ways, which are in Christ, just as I teach everywhere in every church. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 9, he tells the Philippian church, the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace shall be with you. Modeling is a biblical concept and a worthwhile method of learning. We see the impact of this in many ways. Parents, whether they like to admit it or not, model all kinds of behaviors and attitudes to their children. Children, both consciously and unconsciously, are picking up and implementing what they see mom and dad modeling for them. As leaders in positions of influence, both the pastor and elders are models for the congregation. As a matter of fact, generally speaking, congregations tend to reflect what is occurring in leadership. If you don't like what you see in your church, then discover what it is you're modeling for them. One of the positive aspects of contemporary modeling for those who are unable to have a direct mentoring relationship is the fact that anyone can watch and observe. Individuals can be extremely challenged by the powerful example of another. Living examples aren't perfect, but they can embody the values, roles, and commitment that you are looking for. They demonstrate with their lives, and they mentor through example. Observation and emulation on the part of the mentoree helps with growth and development. Since the mentor is not alive in the historical model, he or she models through the pages of a book, such as an autobiography or a biography or any other written works. The demonstration and modeling comes more through what is read than what is actually observed. Years ago, the National Men's Organization of my denomination sent to each pastor a paperback book on the life of George Mueller. I was amazed at this man's faith in God. When there was a financial need or a personal need or a physical need, he simply looked to God alone with strong faith. And I love to read his story because he is a powerful example to me of trusting in the living God for everything. Dietrich Bonhoeffer's book, The Cost of Discipleship, really had an effect upon me. His writing on cheap grace and costly grace struck me hard. And although he was dead, he embodied for me a teaching that changed me and helped my life reflect the true cost of following Jesus. Bethel Theological Seminary in St. Paul, Minnesota, has a room in their library called the Flame Room. The only books in this room are biographies, autobiographies, and classics written by men and women of faith. There is also a small prayer bench. And though long dead, Bethel recognizes the continuing impact of these men and women upon modern-day learners who come to the Flame Room to read. Passive mentoring is a wonderful way of growing and learning, especially for those unable to establish a direct and deliberate mentoring relationship. Observing the example of living examples, as in contemporary modeling, or reading the biography of someone who has passed on before us, is a powerful way of allowing others to impact our life toward further growth and further development for the glory of God. This is the end of number 11.